Well, hoping I hope Zion Amr Allah to the third line. Continuing to discuss this matter of Shkotet, we've established so far that there are two different Isurim. One to not Shech Korbanos outside the Azara, the other one to not offer them outside the Azara. Talking about where exactly we learn these respective Isurim from, both of them try to spell out a highest Paris. Where do we see those two different Isurim? So we were discussing that whole thing. Now, we said before, though, that we said in the Mishnah that there's a distinction between things that were already, we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi said Nidhi and the Chachamim disagreed when you have a korban that was shechted outside the Azara, where it's already fossil, and then somebody goes and offers it outside the Azara. Rabbi Yosef Nidhi says he's fossil, because look, all this is something that's fossil. At that point, you can be mechayev the person who shechted it, of course, but how can you be mechayev the person who offered it? When it's already possible anyhow, the Chum say it doesn't make a difference. So now let's discuss that again. Ashkuchan Mukdirei Pinim. So far we found that there's a chiyuv, that there's a warning in the Torah, whether because in the end we said because of the, we went through various possibilities, we ended up saying because of a Gzeira Shava or a Hekesh, that there's an issur for shechting the korban outside the Azara, and that if the person does use Chayiv Kores or Chathas B'Shevi. So that applies, Ashkuchan Mukdirei Pinim. That would apply to things that were meant to be burnt inside the Azara. Things that were shechted in the Azara and were going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and then he took them outside the Azara and burnt them. So since the Rashi points out, since the Pasuk says, Al Pesach Oyom Moed, Lo Yuvi Enu, that he did not bring it for the Pesach Oyom Moed, then that implies that we're talking about something that was raw, as was discussed before, Roy Lovi the Pesach Oyom Moed. It's something that was suitable to come to be offered Mizbeach in front of the door of the Oyom Moed, and instead he took it and offered it elsewhere. How do we know that the same din would apply when they were shechted outside and they would have been, by default, burnt outside, not brought into the Azara, because you can't bring them into the Azara and burn them anyhow, they're already fossil. Minayin, how do we know that nevertheless he's tired for offering them outside? Because the Pasuk says, after it talks about not shechting the korbanos outside the besmikdash, then it continues, and to them, to the Jewish people, you should say that if a person offers a korban outside the Azara, then he's chayev. So now, when it says va'aleihem with an aleph, means and to them, but we can darshan it as if it said va'aleihem with an ayin, which would mean ala smuchim toima, you're talking about something which, you're talking about the adjacent thing, you're talking about the thing right before us, or ala rishonim toima, it means different gears. Regarding the first ones, you should tell them, meaning that what we're going to say now applies also to the previous section. So it means, in other words, that the issue of halal b'chutz applies even when already there was done to it, what was done in the previous section, namely that they were shechted outside the Azara, and even then a person is chayav for offering it outside the Azara. So not like Rabbi Yosef really in our mission. However, Maskus or Rava, however, Rava asks on that, we see Va'alehem, the fact is, does it say Va'alehem with an ayin, which would mean then that you can add to what you said before? No, Va'alehem, it says Va'alehem with an aleph. So it has nothing to do with being adjacent. It means, and to them, the Jewish people, you should tell, such and such. Now, Elakit Tonad Reda Bishmal. Rather, the reason is, based on what Tonad Reda Bishmal says, Va'alehem Tonad out of Parashias. The point is, because you have the Vav, because it says Va'alehem Tonad, that means to add, to combine the Parashias together. We have something like the Suli or Norma Sechta as well, when we're talking about the Par Helam Dabba Shal Tzibur and Par Koin Mashiach and all that, where sometimes we'll say that the Vav at the beginning of a section in the Torah is meant to tie it to the previous one, and to say that the same dinim that applied to the previous one applied to this. So here what we're doing is, we're saying not so much the din applies, you don't need to tell us the din is the same by both of them, it says Koris, but rather to tell us that it applies even when what was described in the first section, namely about Shchita, was already done. They were already shechted, bachutz, and now it's called Mukdirei Chutz, that they were going, the expectation would have been burnt, that they would be burnt outside the Azara. Nevertheless, if a person does in fact do that, he is in fact Chayev Kores or Chatas, even though it's already possible by virtue of having been shechted outside the Azara. Okay, so that's one way of learning it. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Asya, Havah, Havah, Rabbi Yochanan says you can learn it from a Gzeira Shara from the word Havah. Where by both of them, as we talked about this yesterday, it says, Lo Yaviyoi by the Shchita, and it says, Lo Yuvienu by the Halah. So we can learn from that. Malahalan, Mukhtarei Chutz, Afkan Mukhtarei Chutz. So the same way as when it comes to Shchotei Chutz, then a person is Chayav, even if, because they're shechted outside the Azara. Just because he's going to be chayef, even if it's going to be afterwards burnt in, it's going to be burnt outside, he's chayef for the shechita alone. The same way afkan mukdurei chutz, the same way when it comes to halah, he's also going to be chayef even if it was shechted outside and it was by presumption it was going to be burnt outside. Nevertheless, if he actually goes and burns it outside, then he is in fact chayef. Then he is in fact chayef for that. We had brought this Gzeira Shava already at the bottom of the previous Amud, and we had used it to say that Bechlal, that there is an Issur to even Shech the Korbanos outside. We learned from this Gzeira Shava. So now in addition, we also learned from this Gzeira Shava that it applies whether the Korban was Shechted in the Azara or whether it was already Shechted outside the Azara and became possible. Okay. However, Master sort of Divi, however, Divi says I have a question on that. We have a Mishnah in Chrysos that says Shloshim b'sheish Chrysos nemu b'Torah. There were 36 things that a person might do, they will not do, that make him chayav kares. 34 of them are lavin. 2 of them, as we discussed yesterday, Pesach and Milah, are mitzvah sasein. So you have, and one of them in that Mishnah, one of them is now the question is, Rashi points out, Gemara says in Chrysos, we'll learn it next year, Be'ez Hashem, later this year, whatever. So why do we need the number? We ourselves can count up what it says in the Mishnah and realize that it comes to 36. So Rabbi Yochanan explains, it means suppose a person were to do all these things, the Hela Mechad, suppose he were to, in the same time, not knowing that any of these things are also, he ate Chalev and Dam and broke Shabbos and duplicated the Keturus and so on and so forth. And among others, one of the things in that list is water korban outside the Azara, then he would be chayav an individual chatas for each one. Now, Rabbi's question is that he's saying, and so he's mentioning Hamala Bachutz, but based on what we're saying, Tlof and Beshev Havim, it comes out that there were these 37, Dika Mala Bahamala, because you're telling me that there were two different kinds of Mala. You're saying you have the ones that were affected in the Azara, of which we're calling Mukhtarei Pni, and you have the ones that were shechted to begin with outside the Azara, which we're calling Mukhtarei Chutz, and each one is being ruled by a separate Hekesh or Gzeira Shava, so therefore it comes out, each one should be considered a separate Avera. So then we should, instead of saying 36 Chutzes, we should say 37. Now, Rashi points out, the Gemara goes on to say over there, that listen, is 36 from fact the maximum? What happened? You can have an example where, for example, on Shabbos, a person did many different malachas. And there are cases where a person has to bring separate chataris for those. Similarly with Avodah Zarah, you could have a person did multiple types of Avodah Zarah. And he did multiple types of Avodahs to an Avodah Zarah, and is going to have multiple chataris. So the Gemara addresses that point there, Rashi says, and says the difference is when it comes to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, you have Mishnayos elsewhere that discuss that point. In the Masechta Shabbos and the Masechta Avodah Zarah, and in Shabbos and in Sanhedrin, rather respectively. So therefore, now in Chrysos, we can just say generically, a person violated Shabbos, or a person worshipped Avodah Zarah, and it doesn't need to get into the details, because we can find those in the respective Masechtas. But here, the question is, there's no explicit Mishnah that discusses that there's Evrei Pnim versus Evrei Chutz, so the ones that were going to be brought inside the Azara versus the ones outside, the ones that were shechted in the Azara versus the ones outside. Yes, Rashi says, you have the Macholikas, Rabbi Yisrael Lili, and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, where if it was shechted outside, Rabbi Yisrael Lili patters him for offering it outside, but you don't have explicitly the Mishnah in so many words that he's chayav either way. So now Rabbi's question is, the Mishnah should have listed them as two separate things, and therefore the total number should be 37. So why don't we do that? Why indeed did the Mishnah not list them separately? You know, there's two, the Mishnah Rabbah talks about from the Rambam, there's two different ways of understanding the question. Is the question that indeed the Mishnah should have listed them separately and the Mishnah should have listed them separately, and Mahalocha, in fact, if a person were to do both of them, he would in fact be chayav two chatos, or is the question that or is the question that that based on what we just said, they ought to count as two. However, the Mishnah in practice lists them only as one, and a person is chayav of only one tratus for it, and why should that be? Either way, the Gemara says kasha. The Gemara leaves it as a kasha. Why indeed it's so? Why it doesn't spell that out? The Gemara just gave kasha. It's not two of them. It's not an open contradiction. One possibility is the truth is that even though the Mishnah says it that there's 36, when it comes to, for example, one of the among the things are various hadayas, including a man having relations with his mother, and the Rambam actually points out that you can really break down those arayas, and you come to a total number of 43 lav in there rather than 34, and nevertheless the Mishnah can still lump them all together. So in the same way, the Mishnah can kind of lump together over here mala without specifying. Okay, as Rashi points out that you could have, the difference is you don't have an explicit Mishnah, but nevertheless that's not reason enough to shlug up what we said that in fact we can learn them from different places. Again, does that actually mean that a person would require two katars for doing two kinds of halal? One of a korban that was shechted in the Azara, and one for one that was shechted outside, or would in fact be chayav only one chatas, that the Mishnah Lamelech discusses, we could understand Rabbi's question either way. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, how about here's another? Okay, so far we've established that there was a lav not to shecht korbanos outside of Mishnah, and he said it doesn't matter whether we talked about yesterday, it doesn't matter whether he was makdish them when bomers were mutter, or when he was makdish them when bomers are also. Either way, you're not allowed to offer them outside of the smithash. The difference is, we said, if he was makdish them when bomers are mutter, and he offers them later on when bomers are also, he's were only on a lav, whereas if he was makdish them when there was already a besmithash, when there's already a mishkan or a besmithash, and then he offers them outside, then he's chayav koris, and saying there's no difference, the points of chachamim, whether they were shechted, in fact, whether they were shechted in the azara, and then he took them outside and burnt them, or whether he shechted them outside and then also burnt them outside. Either way, he's going to be chayev. Either way, he's going to be chayev. Okay. Now that's as far as shechita and as far as halach. Let's talk about another avodah. V'chodetznan. What about we learn in the Mishnah later on in our parak? Has zurdik mitzas domim b'chutz. If a person sprinkles some of the blood of a korban b'chutz outside chayev, then he'll be chayev koris. Now, the idea is, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that even with a chatas, which requires four separate daubings of blood, nevertheless, we said, Beisivil says, and halacha is like them, that if he does only one, then the korban is kosher, but the other, well, on the flip side of that is, if he does only one application of blood outside the azara, then he's going to be chayav, because that would have been rory loved for him, that would have been enough inside the azara to make the korban kosher. So, Menalon, where do we know that from? The Torah mentions shechita, the Torah mentions halacha, where do we get shechita from? So then it says, Naskalem Vidatanya. We can learn it from what it says in a braisa as follows. The Pasuk says, when it talks about this point of Shchutichutz, it says that if a person does that, a person brings the korban outside the Bismikvah, Dom Yechoshev. The Pasuk says it will be considered for the person like blood. It will be considered like he committed murder. Dom Yechoshev the Ishahu, Dom Shofach. The Pasuk says that it will be considered like he spilled blood. Here in the Gemara, it just says Dom Yechoshev. Rashi also adds the words. Dom Shofach. So the words Dom Shofach. He spilled blood. Come to include the Rabbis. The Rabbis. He says Zurich. The Rabbis has Zurich. That comes to include also a person who sprinkles the blood. Elsewhere, Rashi says that there are other places where we learn that it's for that the limud is from Dom Shofach. Some say that some Hodshim says that maybe in fact it should be from Dom Yechoshev. Whatever, there's something in the pasuk there that says the Rabbis has Zurich. That comes from food. Somebody sprinkles blood. Literally, he spilled blood. So therefore includes the Zerik. Divi Rabbi Shmuel, that's how Rabbi Shmuel learns. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zevach, Oy Zevach. Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need that. The Pasuk says that if he brings an Oyla or a Zevach from the word Oy, L'Rabbis is a Zerik, from the word Oy, we can include Zerika Sadam as well. Well, the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, hi, Oy Zevach, my oven, right? What's Rabbi Shmuel doing with the words Oy Zevach? And the answer is, L'Kavot. He says that comes to make a distinction. Meaning, in other words, that if it said Asher Yala Ola Zevach or Ola Vizevach, then maybe he'd be chayiv. Only if he does an Ola and a Shlamim. So the Ori tells us that he's chayiv for each one individually. Friend Kodeshim has a different understanding of it. He says, no, why would anybody think he's chayiv only if he does an Ola and a Shlamim? He says, rather, the point is, let's say a person did an Ola and a Shlamim, the Helam Echad. What if he didn't know the whole thing is also, and he did an Ola and he did a Shlamim? You would think maybe he's chayiv, only one chatas. No, we're saying with the word Oi teaches us that he's chayiv separately for each one, so he's chayiv two chatoris because it was two different programs. So Rabbi Shmuel is using the word Oi Zevach for that. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva l'chalav, where's Rabbi Akiva learning that from? And the answer is, naftalai mi lo yivienu. He learns it from the fact that it says, in the next pasuk, that he doesn't bring it to the Pesach HaOmer, lo yivienu in the singular. So that means a single korban, then already he's chayav for. You don't need two korbanos, and you don't have that if it was two korbanos, the hel mechad, that he'd be chayav for, or that he'd be chayav only one. Okay, but Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, Rabbi Shmuel learns from the word lo yivienu that it means he has to bring something complete in order to be chayev, not something incomplete. We'll see. I'm not kufches on the days. We'll learn tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem, there'll be a machloikas, what exactly chosim means. It can mean an aver, which is chosim. It can mean a limb of the animal, which is not complete. It can mean an animal, which is incomplete, namely that he took some of it and burnt it inside the Azara, let's say, and then he took the rest and burnt it outside, that he'd be better. So maybe he wouldn't be chayav for that. And another possibility is maybe it means he has to burn at least a kazayis outside, and kasero would mean it's less than a kazayis. So the three-way machlok is what it means. Whatever the case, Rabbi Shmuel says you can learn that from the word yivienu. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, naftalai mi lasas oisoi. He says, yep, the pasuk also says, lasas oisoi, to make it, to do it, which implies it when it's complete, not when it's incomplete. Rabbi Shmuel answer to that. He says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it comes out there are two psukim that tell us the same point, that only if it's sholim, not if it's chosim. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, why would you need that? The answer is, because one would be talking about the mukhtere idim, as we talked about before, when you have a korban that was shechted in the azara, and the expectation is that it should have been offered in the azara as well. Now something is missing from it. Something was already burnt on the Mizbeach, or something went missing some other way, the hell of a horse, and he offered it out, and he offered the rest of it outside the Hazara. Nevertheless, then in that case, he's potter, because it is chosu, the chans, the mukhtere chutz, shafasu, the hell of a horse, and the other one would be about mukhtere chutz, where it was to be doing with shechted outside, and it was possible anyway, and nevertheless, he was supposed to not burn it at all, he was supposed to leave it and not burn it as a korban, and instead he did, but it was chosu, and then a hell of a horse, and then he offered it outside, then also he's potter, because either way, it's not sholeh. Now, Rashi points out, you can need both of them, because if it only said one, we would think it applies only to Mukhtere Chutz. We would think that Mukhtere Pnim, he would be Chayav either way. Because Rashi points out that the fact is, as Mara points out later on, that we learned earlier in the Masechta as well, that when you have something that jumps off the Mizbeach, when you have, something that's burning on the Mizbeach, and all the moisture in it, causes it to pop off the Mizbeach, so we said that in many cases, you still have to return it. So therefore we see that's considered a valid haktara, even though it's only a part of the korban. So you would have thought, well, the flip side of it is you have a korban that was shechted in the azara, and it was supposed to be burnt in the azara, and instead he took some of it outside and burnt it. You would think maybe he should be chayav. Therefore we need to have two psukim. One will tell us about chutz, and the other one will tell us about pnim. Says Rabbi Shmuel. So there's the whole tanya, and indeed we learn in a brayser. Rabbi Shmuel am yochel muftele pnim shemfasu v'hel v'chutz. We would think that when you have something that was supposed to be burnt inside in the azara on the mizbeach, that was missing a piece, and then you offered the rest of it outside, you would think he's chayev. Talmud by malasas oisay ala shalom chayev in a chayev ala chasu. That is why the pasuk says malasas oisay, that he's chayev only when it's complete, not when it's incomplete. So we'll see that Rabbi Shmuel does in fact use the words that those words of the pasuk teach us that. And the fact remains that he needs both in the Mordim, as Rashi says, because we couldn't have learned one from the other. Rashi and Tosfos both point that out. Fine. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? Well, according to him, shouldn't you need two psukim? exactly. The Gemara says, well, he holds the hell of a chutz chayim. As a matter of fact, he holds that if the mukdere pnim, something that was supposed to be offered inside the azara, that was shechted in the azara and it should have been offered over there, and some type of it is lacking, and he takes it outside the azara and he offers the rest of it, in fact, Rabbi Akiva holds he is chayim. Well, then, yeah, he doesn't need two psukim. And it actually explains specifically when it popped off the mizbeach, when it fell off the mizbeach because of the heat or whatever, and then he took it outside. Then it was supposed to be returned to the mizbeach, as we learned previously in our masechta, and instead he didn't, and therefore now he's chayav for taking it outside and offering. Well, there you go then. So Rav Akiva doesn't need to soak it, but in fact he doesn't hold in both cases. He would be popped. So that takes care of that. Now, what about Rav Akiva Hai Dom Yechoshev Mai Ovidle? Now, Rav Shmuel had learned that a person is chayav for zrika outside the Azara from the word Dom Yechoshev. Rav Akiva, again, instead he used from Oizevach, and that led us into this whole sub-discussion over here. But now, going back to Rav Shmuel had learned the fact that a person is chayav for zrika from the word Dom Yechoshev or Dom Shopach. What is Rav Akiva doing with that? And the answer is, Rav Shita Sa'oif. Rav Akiva would say that comes to teach us that if a person shechts a brood korban outside the Azara, then he's still chayav. A brood was supposed to have mulita done to it. Doesn't matter. The fact that he took the fact that he shechted it is also enough to outside the Azara is enough to make him chayav. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel, what is Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, Nachumini Oyasha Yishcha. He learns it from the fact that earlier the Torah says, or if he shechts Mechutz Lamachne, so. Now, the point is that it repeats the words Asher Yishcha. The Pasuk says Asher Yishcha Shoreh Kesev Ha'ez V'machna. If he shechts a cow or sheep or goat in the machna, Oy Asher Yishcha Mechutz Lamachna, or that he shechts outside the machna. What does it need to repeat? Asher Yishcha. So therefore, we can learn from that. That includes birds as well. Bird of Akiva, fine. What does Rav Akiva answer to that? The answer is Amalach, Ahu Miboilai, Alashokatu Chayavain Attack, Loy Alamol. He learns that a person would be Chayav only for shechting a bird outside the Azara, not to bring Malika outside. Now, Malika is what's supposed to be done to a bird korban. Nonetheless, though, Malika never takes place outside the Azara. By definition, Malika takes place only in the Azara. Rav Akiva will hold that in fact, if he did Malika, given that it's in the wrong place outside the Azara, and any place outside the Azara, anytime it's not a korban, Malika is not shchita, it makes the animal, it makes the brood nevela. So then, uniquely in the Azara, Malika is what's done to make it a kosher to korban. Rav Akiva says, the fact that if in fact he were to do Malika outside the Azara, he would be potter because he hasn't actually shechted it. He's basically made it in the vein. So therefore, now Rashi explains, so you need both psukim. If it said only Asher Yishcha and include Shnita Sa'oiv, then you would think, well, if a person is chayav for Shnita, how much more so is chayav for Malika, because that's the way to bring the korban. So therefore, it has to say Dom Shopach to tell us that it means that it includes a bird. But then it says, oh, yes, it is specifically a person is chayav only for shechting the bird, not for doing the malika. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns that one. Good Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel say to that? He agrees with it being, so where does he derive that from? Yeah, so it's not when Zeh HaDofen. He learns from the fact that the Torah introduces the second and Parshas Akrabos with the word Zeh HaDofen. So Zeh HaDofen, only this matter that it's going to say, Asher Yishcha, that he said. So therefore, from that we can learn that there's nothing else, that only this that's described, Shita, and not Malik, when it's outside the Azara. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. That Rabbi Shmuel learns that way. When the pasuk says Asher Yishchat, Eini Ela Shoytet Behema, we would go from those words Asher Yishchat only if he shechts an animal, as the Torah lists over there. Shoyda Kesev Eiliz Shochat Oif Menolam. How do we know that he's chayim even if he shechts a bird? Tamadloima Oy Asher Yishchat. So as we said, we learn it from the words Oy Asher Yishchat, which is unnecessary. The words Asher Yishchat again are necessary, so therefore it teaches us a bird as well. But Yochol Acham Moilik. You would think that also a person who does malika to a bird would be chayav as well. The dingu, And there'd be a very logical reason to say that. Ma shchita de'en derech hasheira b'fnim, ma de shchita, which is not the way to make a brood korban potter inside the azara. Chayev, and nevertheless he's chayev doing it outside. The lika shederech hasheira b'fnim, the lika, which is the proper way to do the korban of a brood inside the azara. Ain't a din shu chayev, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that he'd be chayev for doing it outside? Kavachomer, they're still in the pasuk says zehav dover. They tell us that only this matter, only what's only shchita, which is described in that section over there, not malika. So both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree to that din. They just learn it from different places. Rabbi Akiva learns it from the words "Oh yeah, Shayishma," or Rabbi Akiva learns it from the words "Oh yeah, Shayishma." And Rabbi Shmuel, who already used "Oh yeah, Shayishma" to teach us about a bird, he learns it from Zadar. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with Zehav Dover? The answer is, we use the Zehav Dover for Gzeira Shava, which the Gemara doesn't spell out here, but the Gemara spells it out in Nedarim and in Bava Basra. The Gzeira Shava goes in both directions. It goes like this. It says Zehav Dover over here. It also says Zehav Dover at the beginning of Parshas Matnas. And Dabba Moshe wrote that Matnas, and he tells them Zehav Dover, the Tzivah Hashem, and teaches them the dinim of Nedarim. So we learn in one direction. We learn just like the Nedarim, we're able to be Matur Neder, the same way with Kodshim. When a person was Matnish something, he's able to be Matur Neder on it. In fact, the Holocaust, the Shama, the Silo, whether you can do that, the Halacha is like the Silo, as it usually is, and therefore a person was Matnish something, he's able to be Matur Neder on it. That we learn in one direction from that Zera Shava. In the other direction, we learn that since by Shmutechot, the Torah introduces it by saying, by Hashem says, speak to Aaron, and Adam, and Aaron, the one of the Bnei Israel, and tell them this thing. So we learn from that to be Matur Neder, you don't need specifically Rosh HaMatas, the heads of the Shvatim, important to people, Mumchen, people who have Smicha. Any three people can be Matur Neder. That you learn from the fact that here it says Zehav Dover, and it's addressed to El Kol Bnei Yisrael, and therefore the Zehav Dover there, even though Moshe is in fact speaking only to the Rosh HaMatas, but nevertheless it still includes that Aaron Ravon of the Chol Yisrael, that any three Jews can be Matur Neder as long as they're familiar with the relevant halachos. So the Makiva is using the Zehav Dover for that Zehav Shava, so therefore he doesn't have it available to teach us about the fact that a person is potter for shechting a brood korban outside the Azan. The Gemara doesn't go from there. What Rabbi Shmuel would do with that, either one could be, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require, one thing is, we've talked about before, of Zehav Shava, according to some opinions, does not have to be muftim and shnei tzadim. It doesn't have to be available from both sides. It's not just muftim and tzad echad. Rabbi Shmuel maybe holds that way, and therefore doesn't bother him that that Zehav Dover here is being used for a different direction. Okay. Fine. So far we've covered shkita, halah, and zrika. We said that those three avodas, first extracts the korban, first it offers it, ruins it, that is, outside the azara, or he sprinkles the blood, then he's chayav koris v'mezin and a fatas for shurim. Now, what about another avodah? The hoditznam, we learn later on, at the beginning of the next era, we have a list of avodahs for which a person is chayev, and the Mishnah says a koimet, or the thing that the Mishnah gives over there, rather, a list of things for which a person is potter. So it says a koimet, if he does a koimet, if he takes the koimet to the mincha, but he doesn't actually offer it, he takes a mincha, and outside the azara, he takes the koimets from it. Bamakabal Dhamim, or he does the Kabbalah of the blood, Bachos, outside the azara, Potter, then he's Potter from that, and then Nolan, where do we know that he's Potter? You might say, what kind of question is that? I'm a Hefer Tasey the Chayim. What makes you think he should be Chayim in the first place that you have to ask where? The default should be he's not Chayim. What makes you think that for these azaras, they should be Chayim? You're going to say Tasey the Shrita, or are you going to think you're going to learn it by Mamotzinu from Shrita? And the fact is that we do find, we'll learn in Menachos Bes Hashem, that in a certain sense, the Kemitzah is the equivalent of the Shechita. Just like we learned in our Masechta, you have four primary avodas with an animal korban, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika, the same way by Mincha, you have four primary avodas, and the Kemitzah corresponds to the Shechita. So you're going to say you can learn it from Shechita like that, by Mamatzinu. Because when it comes to a shchita, you have a unique kind of soul that applies only to it and no other avoider, including Kmitza, namely, that if he has in mind, with a Torah Pesach and Shechtzit, having in mind people who are not going to be able to eat from it, people, for example, who are old and sick and can't eat it and can't eat a kazayas of it, then the korban is possible. As opposed, there's no other korban where there's no other korban where that's the case, and there's no other avoda where that's the case. By, even by the korban pesach, that din is unique to shvita. So shkemich shavah shorla oichem a pesach, it becomes the korban becomes possible if he has in mind specifically people who are not able to eat. So you can't learn from shvita. Kesim is zrika. Should you try to learn instead from zrika, which in fact even by the korban pesach, if he does the zrika having in mind shorla oichem, it's not a problem. The difference is malu zrika and zor chayv alei misa. The difference is that a zor is chayv misa for doing the zrika, as opposed to, of course, he's not chayv for shechting, but he's also not chayv for kmitza. A zor is not allowed to do the kmitza, and the fact is that a zor cannot do kmitza, and that kmitza is not kosher to be offered on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, he's not chayv misa for it, because the Gemara explains in Yuma that a zor is chayv misa only for what's called avoida she'ena chreya avoida. When there's an avoida where there's no other avoida needs to follow it, that in when it comes to that korban, then a zor is chayev for it. But that's not the case over here, because that's not the case over here. A zor is not chayev for doing kmitza, because it's not the last avoida in the chain. After kmitza, it still needs to be taken from the mizbeach and brew. In the same way, a zor is not chayev for kabbalah either, for the same reason. So therefore, you can't learn from zrika that you can't learn from zrika or from shvita that doing kmitza would be chayev paris. Okay, the Gemara says chasing the benayah. Fine, maybe we can learn it from a tzad ashrava. You can go back and forth. Shchita is tassel shaloi l'shem oichem b'pesach, but zrika does not. Zrika zoras chayev mitzah. Shchita can prove the fun. Zor is not chayev for shchita. In fact, the zor is allowed to do the shchita, even on tefillah. So then you should do like that. The answer is, the Gemara says, if you're going to say that you can learn by a tzad ashrava such things, and say that anything that we can learn from a tzad ashrava, a person is going to be chayav if he does it outside the azara. If you're going to go by that logic, lo yo omer b'zrika, then we wouldn't have even needed a pasuk to tell us that zrika outside the azara is chayav. Whether according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva, either way, we said according to either one of them, there is a pasuk that tells us that if a person does that, if a person does with zrika outside the azara, then he's chayev. So by the same logic, you could have said it didn't have to say zrika at all. The tesim ibenaya, and you could have also learned it from a tzad ashrava. Namely, the tesim is shchita. You would try to first learn zrika from shchita. You can't mal shchita shchem nefsel shloim shloim open the pesach, because it has that unique feature of not of castle in the Torah. And if he has in mind shloim oichlov when it comes to the korban pesach, so you can't learn zrika from shchita. Tesim halal, you would try to learn from halal, from offering it, from burning it, and you would say mal halal shchem yeshne b'mincha. You would say a different pircha on it when it comes to a mincha. When it comes to halal, when it comes to burning, applies equally to animal korbanos and to menachos. Because by animal korban, you have certain parts, or in the case of an oil, all of it, that are burnt on the mizbeach. And when it comes to a mincha, you have the payments that's burnt on the mizbeach. As opposed to when it comes to the avodah of zrika, there's no zrika by a mincha, because mincha doesn't include blood. So therefore, you couldn't have learned from that either. Tasting the benayah, nevertheless, would still argue that you can learn it from a tzad ashrava between them. And nevertheless, we don't. Nevertheless, the Torah writes a pasuk according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva, whichever respective psukim. And we learn from that that a person is chayav for zrika. So you see from that, says the Gemara, that when it comes to this business of which things a person is chayav for doing outside the azara, we do not say that anything that we can learn from a tzad ashrava is automatically included. Otherwise, the Torah would not have had to tell us by zrika. So therefore, basically, we can say where it says it, then it says it. Where it doesn't, it doesn't. Bahochi ksiv kura. That is why the pasuk specifically mentions by the zurdik bahots. So that is chayev, and that lemeima precisely to tell us deloy osim ibenaya, that do not try to learn from a tzad ashrava, even though it should have seemed so logical to learn from a tzad ashrava. Nevertheless, don't. Where the Torah tells you that he's chayev, namely by zrika, then he's chayev. Where the Torah doesn't tell you, namely by kmitza and by kabbalah, then he's not chayev. So fine. So now the Gemara is going to resume discussing Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but the Tzayin Kodshim points out an interesting point. It says, so why does the Gemara interject this whole matter of Kabbalah and Kabbalah and Kmitzah in the middle? When we're still going to continue with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So like this, he explains. Choice just asks the question of the Gemara that later on, the next parak, we're going to learn that what kind of things is posting chayav for only for mar avoida, only for things that are the end of the avoida, and therefore koymetz is not, because again, after the koymetz, there are other avoidas that have to be done with that koymetz. Now, the question is, Tosfos says, well, then why does our sugya have to explain it differently and say that, and say that we have to learn it by the way, we learn it from the fact that it could have said it's sada shava, and it didn't, and therefore we learn it that way. So now, in fact, the Tzayin Kodshim says, obviously, then, it means that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are disagreeing with that Gemara later on. So now that the Gemara says, well, according to them, the question is not according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim can easily, and the Chachamim against Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva can easily enough learn that a person is potter for Kabbalah and for Kmitzah and for other such things. They can learn as it says in the last parak, as we'll learn in a few days, Be'ez Hashem, about that we learn from the words Asher Gala Oila, that it means it has to be a Gemara Avodah. But Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, who obviously don't agree with that, so then the question is, according to them, where are we getting Kabbalah for Gala? That's the Tzayin Kodshim's answer. And then the Gemara over here is going to go on to say over here, Machloikas sort of Abohu and Abaya about the consequences of the different opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about where we learn Zrika from, about how many Kobanas are going to be chayiv we did it for Shoigig. So the point would be, in other words, about deals on this machlokas of Rabbi Bohu and Abaya about where we learn Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing where we learn Zrika from. That also is going to bear on the fact that we said that Kabbalah is excluded. With that deals on the question of So that bears on the question of how where exactly you learn Zrika from, and how many chatoris would be chayim if you did multiple avoidas, and therefore the Gemara brings it in over here. So the Gemara says, Omar Ababahu, Shochat v'zorak v'dibir Rabbi Shmuel chayim achas. Now what would happen if he shechted and sprinkled the blood outside the azorak, and it was all behel mechas, v'dibir Rabbi Shmuel chayim achas. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he would be chayim only one. Because he says that where do we learn Zorak from? It's from the word Dom Shachach, which is in connection with Shit, with Shchitza Bachlitz. So therefore, point to him, there's no separate lab for Shchitza and for Zika, and therefore only one, therefore only one Chachis. The Rebbe Akiva Chayiv Shtayim. According to Rebbe Akiva, though, he would be Chayiv two Chatoris, because Rebbe Akiva is learning it from the words Oizevach, which is a different thing, because the words oizevach are in connection with another section, they're in connection with halal, and therefore, according to him, he would then therefore point to Rabbi Akiva, he'd be chayav both. Abaya, Allah, Abaya says, no, I feel we'll do Rabbi Akiva and chayav al-achas. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, says Abaya, he's still feeling way to be chayav only one achas. Because the pasuk says, shom tasri. The pasuk says, there, in the Bismikdash, you should bring your korbanos. Shetil Gomefis is actually what it says, is shom tala, the shom tasri, kola, shonotim, and mitzavecha. There you should offer, and there you should do everything that I told you, which means meaning by saying Shom Tasa, the Torah is in effect Shom Tala, Shom Tasa, it's mentioning Allah separately and then lumping everything else together under Shom Tasa. That teaches us that everything else is considered one Asiyah, is considered only one action. So even though it was separate physical actions, Gita and Zvika, nevertheless they're all included in Shom Tasa, and therefore says Abaya, a person is chayav only one Chatas for the both part. On the other hand, so that's it. What about Zorak Vehela? What about if he did Zvika and Halakha? Then it's the other way around. The Dibur Rabbi Shmuel, Chayiv Shtayim, says Rabbi Bohu, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would have to be Chayiv two Chatoris, because he learns the Chiyuv of Zvika from a pasuk in connection with the Shchita. Well, then you have one Issur of Shchita and one Issur of Halakha. Therefore, we have to be chayav for both. The Divrei Rabbi Akiva and chayav al-achas. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he'd be chayav only one, because he's learning Zvida from a positive connection with Halakha, and therefore, And therefore the same and therefore it would be only one, therefore it would be only one lav and only one chatz. Abaya Amalud Achil Divrei Rav Akiva Chayev Shtayim. Abaya says no, even if Rav Akiva he'd be chayev both, he'd be chayev for two. Lahoki Pogdino Kura Sham Tala Sham Basa, because in the pasuk in Parashas Ra'e does in fact distinguish them. It says Sham Tala and then it says Sham Tasa, which includes everything else in it. So that means, in other words, why not? Why would the Torah do that? Why not just say Shom Tasa? Why does it have to spell out Shom Tala separately? That tells us that Halach is considered a thing of its own, and the Shom Tasa sign includes everything else. So therefore, Rabbi says both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would hold that he's chayav two contracts for that. What about Shachar, Zorach, the hell? What if he did all three things, Shechtik, and Sprinkled, and the blood, and offered it? Look at Rahako, Chayef Shayim, then everybody, Rabbi Bohu, and Abaya, and Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva, are all going to agree that he's Chayef 2, because no matter how you put it, according to Rabbi Bohu, they have this Chayef 1 for the Shchita and the Zrit, this Chayef 1 for the Shchita and the Zrit combined, and a separate one for the Halach. And according to and according to Rabbi Akiva, he'd be chayav one for the shchita and one for the halah and the zrika together. No machlokas Abaya and Rabbi Bohu. Within that, Abaya would also agree, since the halah is separated from the other ones in Parashas Ra'e, then therefore there was a separate chiyuv for that. The pasuk says when the person shechts the korban mamachne, he shechts it in the machne. Outside the Azov. You would think from that that maybe a person is chayav even if he shechts the korban if he shechts an ola in the south. Now we've learned sefer that we've learned many times an ola has to be shechted in the north. You would think that maybe if he shechted in the south he should also be chayav because that's the wrong place for it. Tamadama El, and therefore the pasuk says that El pesach oil mori, that he didn't bring it to the door of the oil mori. This whole part is in parenthesis. Rashi doesn't have the gear, so Rashi doesn't have the gear, so the Shittim of Kabbalah has it and says that has a slightly different gear. So. The Braisa continues, Michutz HaMachna, now when it says Michutz HaMachna, that if he shechts it outside the Machna, maybe he's chayav only if he does it outside all three machnas. Because, in other words, the idea is we should learn of Zera Shova. Rashi and Tosfos point out we should learn from the Purim and Yisrafim. We learned at the end of the previous parak that the Purim and Yisrafim, the Serum and Yisrafim are burnt outside of all three machnas, outside Yerushalayim. So maybe we should learn from that that the same way. If a person shechts, he's going to be chayav only if he does it outside all Sholosh machnas. Tosfos points out, you may not even need a Gzeira Shova. Rashi says it would be a Gzeira Shova for Parman Yisrafim. Tosfos says it may not even be a Gzeira Shova. It might be called Gili Milsa, that just is the Torah is telling us, you don't even really need a limud for it. Whenever we find the word Mechutz HaMachna, it always turns out to be outside all three machnas, and therefore maybe over here it should be the same thing. Maybe a person is chayav only if he offers the korban outside Yerushalayim. How do we know that he's chayav even if he does it inside Yerushalayim, but outside the Azara, or even in the Harabais, let's say, he's also chayav. So how do we know that? Therefore, the pasuk says, "Or if he shechts a goat in the machna," and that means b'machna. That means any machna outside the azar. Well, minayin ach machna levia tamad b'machna. How do we know? Also in machna levia, it says b'machna. Again, that's in parenthesis, and Rashi doesn't have that kirsa. But b'machna, if it says b'machna, yochol ashechet ulav adonim yehichayim. Maybe it means any time a person shechts the korban outside of where it's supposed to be, then he's chayav, and that would include shechting an ola in the south. So again, the version that we have in all Gemara as those words at the beginning of the Braisa. Now we're saying that it belongs over here. Actually, that maybe the Torah is telling us anytime a person offers a korban, shechts a korban where it wasn't supposed to be, then he's chayav. That would include then that if he shechts an ola in the south side of the Azara, that's not supposed to be there. No, therefore the Torah says or. If he brings it mechutz b'machna, asher yishchal mechutz b'machna, and how the Pitchum Chavetz has the gear, so it says in shechts of mechutz b'machna, from which we learn mechutz b'machna miyuchad shein yoy b'shchitas chodshim or the shchitas kol zevach. What is unique about mechutz b'machna outside the azara or outside shalosh machna, let's say, is a place where you can't shecht any korban, you can't shecht kodshim, or the shchitas kol zevach. You can't shecht any korban there, even kodshim kalim. So it would have to be, in order for a person to be chayav, would have to be a place where no korban can be shechted. Yotzeh Dora, and therefore that excludes the south side of the Azara. Sha'afikin Rosh, Shvitas Kodesh Kodeshim. Even though it's not suitable for Kodesh Kodeshim, Rosh, Shvitas Kodeshim Kalim, it is suitable to Shech Kodeshim Kalim, and therefore fine. A person shechts an Ola in the south, the korban will be possible. But he's not going to be chayav Kodesh, so a chata is doing that, because the fact is this area is perfectly kosher for shechting certain korbanos, as opposed to the Sotza Machmen, which is possible for shechting anything. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "Oma Ola, Ashrechet Agage Shel Heichol Chayiv." If a person were to shech the korban on the roof of the heichol, then he would be chayiv. Because it's not a place that's suitable for shechting any korban, because you can't shech kodesh kodeshim or kodeshim kalim on the mizbeach. Now, the Gemara points out in other places in Shas, Gemara points out the roofs and the upper floors of buildings in the Bis Mikdas do not have the same Yusha of the Azara. So therefore, so the top of the Hekel, the roof of the Hekel, is not a suitable place to shecht Korbanos. Therefore, all it says by the same logic, any we're saying any place which is off limits for shechting Korbanos, a person is chayav for doing it over there, well then that would apply to the roof of the Hekel as well. So he would be chayav, because again, it's not suitable to shech any part. So Rava though has a problem with that. Imkain, if that's the case, Nichtiv Ra El Michut Samachna, then the Torah should have said, then the Torah should have only said El Michut Samachna, or Rashi's Girsa is that it should have said Bamachna, the El Michut Samachna. So could have said that, and that would be enough. So understand, Michut Samachna would be that Michut Samachna, as we said, would exclude, he's not Chayav the Shechting and Ola in the south of the Azara. Bamachna would learn that we would learn, as we said, that means he's Chayav for doing it only outside one Machna. He doesn't have to be outside also the Yitzhak that he does it outside the Azara. Al Pesach Hayomor in Lomali. But why would it need to say the words Al Pesach Hayomor? Now, Tosfos points out that later on, the Gemara is going to explain that we learned from a Pesach HaMoed that there were a number of Korbanos that are fossil, the Regea, the Nirba, and a bunch of others that a person is popular for. The fact is, it says Al Pesach HaMoed a few times in those sections. So here we have, why did it need to say Al Pesach HaMoed? Lava Ma'utin Gagoy. Wouldn't it be to exclude the case where he does it on the roof? That was it. He brought it to Pesach HaMoed, but then he brought it up to the roof. And the Torah would be implying with that he's potter, not like you, Ula, are saying that he's chayav. The idea would be, in other words, fine, granted, Gag and Rav is like scotch. Rava agrees the roof doesn't have the kedusha, but nevertheless, he still can't call it chutz relative to shchutei chutz. It doesn't have the kedusha of Yazara, but it's a separate reshus, but it's the fact that he did bring it on Pesach HaMoed. Okay. The Gemara says, "Oh, the Rava." Well, we have to ask. Point to Rava. The Rava is saying, in short, that in other words, if he checks it on the roof, even though it's a possible korban, he won't be chayav pares of a chatz. The question is, point to Rava. In saying nivtiv al pesach hayomoed, then the other way around, let it only say the words al pesach hayomoed, b'machne ve'el mechutz ve'el mechutz b'machne. Why would it need to say al pesach? Why would it need to say the words b'machne and mechutz b'machne at all? Wouldn't it be fakir to include the roof and say, like Ullah said, that and say, like Ullah said, that if he shechts it on the roof, he would in fact be chayav, like Ullah said. In other words, what we would say, you have b'machne, which tells us that if he shechts it outside one machne, he's already chayav, and then michutz would tell us that again that you don't include an ola b'dorim. But nevertheless, the Al Pesach we would use for just in Russia, that the Rashi points out, the next paragraph is going to teach us that a person is chayav only for something which is roi, the Pesach HaMoed, only for something that was meant to be shechted by the Pesach HaMoed, as opposed to the beginning of the next paragraph is going to tell us, for example, that if a person shechted the Parah Adumah outside where it's supposed to be, now you have Parah Adumah itself, it is shechted outside the Azara. But it's shechted on Hanazeson, but there's a certain area where the Gemara calls it Gita. Literally, it's wine press. There's a hole in the ground. There's a cavity in the ground that was designated for burning the Parah Adumah. So, but if he shefts it outside of that, he's not chayiv because it's not really loaded. That's the final word, because the parah adumah was never meant to be offered in front. It was never meant to be offered in front of the door of the oil moed in the azara. Anyway, so we would use the word of pesach parah moed for that. But what we would say, so we'd say that it comes to include that he is in fact chayiv on the roof. So in other words, we wouldn't say Pesach Chol Hamoed means, as Rava is saying, that it means if he brought it to Pesach Chol Hamoed and then took it up to the roof of his tent. No, in fact, it'd be Chayev, like Ola says, and Pesach Chol Hamoed is using for a different drasha. The answer is, Amar Amari, L'Issuye, Ola B'Fnim, V'Tzavara B'Chutz. Rav Mori says, fine, but according to Rava, the Psukim, B'Machna, and B'Chutz are coming to include where the animal as a whole is inside the Azara, but the neck is outside, and he shechts it, then he's going to be found. So it's true, we're going to say that he is not chayev for the roof of the Heichol, like Rava says, because the fact is he did bring it up Pesach Chol Hamoed. What it means, if the animal is mostly in the Azara, but the neck is outside, you could argue, look, it's in Pesach Chol Hamoed. What's the problem? No, it says B'machna. He's chayev even outside one machna. Nichutz tells us again, don't include Olam Adorim. But the fact is, Pesach Chol Hamoed, because he did not bring it into the proper place in front of Pesach Chol Hamoed, and therefore Nichutz would tell us that the Nichutz would only be an area which is always chayev for chutz, so it would exclude the Dorim, it would exclude the roof, it's not royal shchitas for zevach, but nevertheless he's potter. So in other words, all the Torah would be demanding is it has to be El Pesach HaOmer. It has to be the entire animal is in front of the Pesach HaOmer and none of it is outside. So we can learn according to Rava that therefore all three words, all three phrases are needed. El Pesach HaOmer and Bamachna and Michutz Bamachna, and all of them teach us different dinim, and therefore it emerges from that that in fact he would be potter for the roof of the heifer. But on the other hand, he'd be chai if the animal is not completely in the azar. Unless it's Savara Bachot, if the neck is outside, and that's where you shech pshita, of course he's chayim. On my kopid rachmano, what is Hashem makbid on in the Torah? Shchita. But the shchita shouldn't be Bachot. Shchita Bachot. The fact is, if the neck is outside the Azara, then he's shechting it outside. Ella the other way around. The Yisui Kola Bachot with Savara Bachnim. What if the animal as a whole is outside the Azara, but the neck is inside? And the neck is inside, you would think it's good. Nevertheless, because most of the korban is outside, then it's considered shchutei chutz, and therefore he's chayim. And again, we would learn that because he didn't bring it, El Pesach. So ultimately, we would learn from El Pesach that din, but then we would also learn from Bamachne, from Bamachne and El Mechutz, we would learn the various other dinim that we said before, that at any time it's outside one machna that he's chayim, and on the other hand, on the roof is potter, and then on the other hand, it has to be completely inside, and on the other hand, that he's not fired for shechting in the warm part of the Azara as long as it's all inside. So fine, according to Rava, then we have satisfied what we're doing with all the psukim, and according to him, we can still say the pasuk is not coming to tell us that he's chayav for shechting on the roof, like Rava said. Rather, in fact, he'd be potter if he shechted on the roof. The Gemara says each. So now we have a discussion. All this time, we're talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. What about after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? It's not how we spoke with it today, I started to tell you. It's not hamala b'zman hazeh. If a person offers a korban b'zman hazeh nowadays after the korban outside the azara, is he chayev or not? The machlokes are showing him actually whether. What about are they only arguing with mala? What about shek? So Rashi and the Rambam hold that we're going to have the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev. When Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev over here for halach, Rashi and the Rambam learn that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would also be chayev nowadays for shkit. On the other hand, Tosfos, who the Yonah Masechta, learns that no, everybody would agree that he's potter for shechting the korban outside, and the machlokas over here was only as far as offering it outside. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, Rish Lakish Amar Patur. Rabbi Yochanan says he'll be Chayev Torres, and Rish Lakish says he'll be Patur. Again, everybody agrees, since obviously the Gemara says Amala, that the Machlokas is about Amala, according to Rashi and the Rambam, the Machlokas of Yochanan and Rish Lakish would also apply to Shittim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, because his Kiddush is Ritzana, Kiddush Shaita, and Kiddush Asimah, the original Kiddush, of the Mismichin was not only for that time, but forever. So therefore, see, Yerushalayim still remains the base of Chira, and therefore it's still a time when Boma is so also, and you can't bring Korbanos outside the Mismichin. Rish Lakish, I'm a potter. Rish Lakish holds his potter because he holds Kedusha Roshana. Kitchel Shaitab, like Kitchel also loved the Kedusha of the Bessin Mithish. It was only temporary, and after the Bessin Mithish, it's destroyed. Bomber Samotu says Rish Lakish, and therefore there's no issue to bring a Korban outside. That's how Rashi believes in our Gemara. He mentions it explicitly later in our Masechta, and also elsewhere in Masechta Megillah. Tosfos brings in Megillah and Udu and Orma Sechta that no, actually everybody agrees Bamas are not also after the Bamas are not Mutter after the Chorban. The question would be, Fakir, according to Tosfos, the question would be, if we say Kid Shal Asa Lava, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would mean you're allowed to bring Korbanos even nowadays if you know the space of the Mizveach, you know where the Mizveach is. As opposed to, according to Rish Lakish, it would be also counted. Because, in fact, we could say, Kedusha Rishonos, Loi Kidshal, Asid Lavoi, so now you have, you can't bring Korbanos inside, but you can't bring them outside either, is how Tosfos looks. We talked about this matter of Kidshal, the Shite of the Kidshal, Asid Lavoi, Ubi, and this Mesechta, there's a Machloifus, whether that applies to Eretz Yisrael as a whole. Does the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael still exist nowadays as far as the mitzvahs of Fluyus Varetz? We talk about as far as the Bishon Mikdash, and we're mentioning that over here. In the end, the Rambam paskins, and then many Rishonim follow him, that when it comes to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, in fact, then that Kedusha is nowadays only Dirabbanan because it lapsed with the Churban and the Golos of the Jewish people. On the other hand, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and of the Bishon Mikdash is eternal because the Rambam says that's because of the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah left there, and the result is that we can't go into the Harabais nowadays, because we're Tomei, because it still has its Kedusha, and conversely, we could, in principle, bring Korbanos in the Mismikdash if we knew where to, and we had all the other details, and as we talked about previously, there would have, in fact, been Rishonim and Achronim in various generations who actually tried to implement that practice. So the Gemara says, name the Dibbutzulka, Dibbutzulka, Rabbi Shokamuthani, should we say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokish are having the same machlokas as Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? And then why are they repeating it as an independent machlokas? It's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Aegis, Omer Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Shamaiti, I have heard from my Rabbein, Shoybonin Behechel Bimei Ezra, when they were building in the Heichel, when they first built the second Mizrach, they made curtains in the space where the walls of the Heichel are going to be. They put up temporary curtains to mark off the area of the Heichel, and then they put more curtains around the area of the Kloim Bazaris. They put curtains around the area of the Azara. Again, as a temporary marker until they could build the walls. Ella, the difference is from the Heichel, burn in the Bachot. The difference is with the Heichel, what they did is they put the curtains on the inside of the area. In the Heichel, they put the curtains on the inside of the area where the Heichel is going to be. So you have the Heichel itself, the inside of the Heichel, is going to be 40 by 20 amas. So they put curtains marking off an area of 40 by 20 amas, and then they built the walls outside of that. Purpose being, in other words, the building shouldn't go into the area of the Heichel. Of Azara, burning with the skin. On the other hand, with the Azara, they put the curtains on the area outside of where the walls will be. So they figured out the width of the Azara plus the width of the walls, and then they put curtains around that area. That's Rabbi Yehoshua said. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yeshua says in that mission of something also that we've heard from his Rebbein. And the Gemara assumes at this point that Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing, and neither one would agree with each other. I have heard from my Rebbein, that they could bring Korbanos even though the Beis Mikdash was not built yet, which in fact actually have a Pasuk says so in the Pasuk actually says so in Ezra. So when they first came, the first thing they did, they set up and they brought Korbanos. So when Rebbe Yeshua, that's fine, even though there's no Beis Mikdash. Rebbe Yehuda would say, as we said, that we put on curtains. They're allowed to eat Kodshin Kodshin even if there are no curtains or walls around the Azara. Kodshin Kalam and Maisa Sheni Apishen Foyma. They can eat Kodshin Kalam and Maisa Sheni even though there's no wall around your plans. Because, in the Phoenician, the Kid Shalasid Mabe, because the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Mishmikdash was not only for its time, but for all times. So it comes out then that Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying over here, Kedusha of Yerushalayim is going like Rabbi Yeshua. And Rish Lachish seems to be going, like Rabbi Eliezer, who said they had to put up no curtains, then no, you can't put curtains. So fine, you don't need walls, but as long as you have some kind of mechitza, then it's good enough. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you needed curtains and mechitzas. Why? Because otherwise you can't put curtains because you don't have the same curtains. But the Gemara says, so lav mikvah, Rabbi Eliezer, sava loy kidra. Apparently, since Rabbi Yeshua stresses the point of kedusha l'shem kidshul shakta, apparently Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that, and therefore they need to make curtains around the space where the heichal and around the space where the azara will be, and they need to actually do the whole ritual that we learned about in the Sefer Shavuos to go around and officially to have a whole procession and officially be mekadesh this area with the kedusha of the heichal and the kedusha of the azara. Why? Because the original kedusha of the Rabbi Eliezer went away. So then it comes out that the same machlokes this Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The answer is from the Ravina and Rabashi Niman. Who says that Rabbi Eliezer sure actually arguing over that? Yomer the Kula Alma Kedusha is spending Kitchen of Chayza, your Kitchen loss of Babay. Maybe both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that the Kedusha is for all time. And Rabbi Yeshua is mentioning the point. Doesn't mean that Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with it. My Vishnia like Alma. Rabbi Eliezer is just reporting what he heard from his Rebbe, that in practice they put up curtains. Rabbi Yeshua Omar, my Vishnia like Alma, and Rabbi Yeshua is also reporting what he heard from his Rebbe. Well, then you have to ask if the Kedusha is in fact for all time. That means the Heichal still had its Kedusha even though it's destroyed. The Azara still had its Kedusha even if it's destroyed. And so why do they need to put up a Koyim according to the Azara at all? You could say the Fnios of Alma, they put them up for privacy so people don't look into the area where the Heichal is supposed to be and where the Azara is supposed to be. It doesn't mean that they actually needed them in order for the area to have Kedusha. You could say that you agree with the Yeshua that in fact the places have Kedusha just by virtue of the fact that they were originally Makadish them at the time of the first listening. So not necessarily are they arguing on this point, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish can have their own independent machlokes on the subject, and Rish Lakish can hold that in fact, loy kid shalos it loy, and Rabbi Yochanan would hold that it does. Again, the nafkamina of it would be if there's interactions in several places, it would mean that the international would actually offer pro bonus anywhere in the world you want now, or at least in Eretz Yisrael, whereas appointed Rabbi Yochanan not, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan, that you cannot. Appointed Tosfos, they would both agree, you can't offer pro bonus anywhere, but Rabbi Shlokish would hold, you can't offer them in the Azara either, and Rabbi Yochanan would hold, you could. And again, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore, in principle, we could bring pro bonus even nowadays, if we had the ability to. We've talked about before, for example, how in the few years after the Six-Day War, that ever would tell people not to be in the old city of Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, because then they might have to bring a Korban Pesach until, unfortunately, circumstances changed, and that became no longer necessary, and we're still waiting for the third base mitzvah to be built, Shribonim Beheru Yemenu, and then Vanakru Rechonecha Korbanus Chagaseinu, and we'll bring all the Korbanus like we're supposed to. The Yad Mosh.